Welcome back to our listeners. You are tuning into Reset for Women, and I am your host, Lori Carice. Today we have with us Denise Maselli, intuitive life coach and soul alignment guide. Our reset today is how to stop your saboteurs and triggering in real time. Welcome to the show, Denise.
Thank you so much for having me. I am really excited to be here. I love what you do with the podcast and supporting women and our unique needs that we have. And so, yes, it's
Thank you.
awesome.
And I think we all need a reset, whether it's a minute reset, 15. I always try to frame it as take a 15-minute reset, but sometimes you need a little longer.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. So I'll just briefly say, how I got into this. I have been kind of a change agent in my life through going through various situations as we do through the decades, and we have to make choices that are difficult, and that's often where we find ourselves as, the decades go on, is like we have these layers of ourselves that date back to when we were very young. And often those become our saboteurs. And so to help women to realize what they are has become a passion for me, to help women to connect with, I call it soul alignment, depending on your level of, where your spirituality is. It's really about aligning with your authentic self. And oftentimes, because of external expectations that are placed on women by, family, culture, all of these things, we can get hung up in people pleasing. We can get hung up in perfectionism, being so worried about the outcome that we sometimes get stuck and we don't make a choice because we want the outcome of everything to be perfect. So we get caught up in some of these, saboteurs like the inner critic. The judge who's, as soon as we have an idea or a choice that may feel so exciting when we think of it, it's like right away that inner critic comes in and says, "Oh, but you tried doing that. You tried creating a business back then and it didn't work out." So we have these saboteurs that, unless we really dig into where they came from and try to bring down the intensity of that, then we often stay stuck, or we feel just it's very hard to make a decision about change and to have the courage to face a change, even though we have to accept that, sometimes in the path of making a change, we might have a detour. It might not go exactly as we had planned. And that's not a failure, that's just life experience.
Sorry for the pause. My mic was off because my pen is going crazy right now because I'm just making so many notes. I always say, and people have heard me say this a million times, I love this topic of reset for women because it's so interesting how relevant what you're speaking on is connecting the dots on things I'm actually going through in my personal life. I always say that this is like my 15 minutes of therapy because I know you haven't mentioned kids, but I think of my kids in this also, and I'm sure as, an alignment guide and a life coach, you hear a lot of people talk about, their family as well. I'm actually reading a book right now called Never Enough. And it's about, the pressures of kids today. There's another book in my I do audiobooks because I can just get through them more and it's while I'm driving. And another one that I want to read is called Life Without Likes. Clearly it's because I have teenage girls, 16 and 13, definitely influential, and they're growing up in a time that you and I didn't have. We put on our own pressure. And are we enough in a life of overwhelm, et cetera? But what are we teaching our children? I am raising my hand because I know that's what I'm also probably doing to my own kids. I've always been wound tight. I've always got a lot on my plate. I'm always running around like a chicken with my head cut off. I complete tasks, but I know that I'm probably high anxiety and go, 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 go. And I treat myself like I'm never enough. I always want to move on to the next and build, build, build. That's kind of like 360 Talk Radio for Women is the epitome of that. because I can't be an expert in all areas, therefore I collaborate with all the experts, and I pull it in because I just want that amazing content for women, by women, because I think we support each other so well. But my pen was going crazy because it really is making me think a lot about stuff, how we're passing on this overwhelm to other generations, et cetera. And I don't know if that's what anything you had planned on talking about, but if you don't mind, I think it's just such a social issue that we need what we're doing to these kids when it comes to college admissions and over stimulating them with too many activities and college readiness in fifth grade, being worried about what class. I mean, I've seen my own daughter, and I know I, gosh, I'm taking over. I'm sorry, but like my 16-year-old, she's very college-minded, but in a very, they put you in such a competitive edge that they're not enjoying their youth. They're giving up birthday parties for soccer practice and club, et cetera. And I just think that this overwhelm and not being enough is trickling down, and I'll stop. Sorry.
No, actually, it makes so much sense because honestly, the learning that I have done, of course, I did this work myself personally, and that's what convinced me to add this subconscious realm to my toolkit because I saw how powerful it was. I had been in a very chaotic household where as a youngster, I felt different. I wanted to go to college. I wanted to meditate and do art and get out in nature and do things that my family's just like, what is she doing? And so I felt a pressure, and I'm sure this is, again, kids today, it's a similar thing. We want to please our parents. We want to please the external expectations on us, which I think today women do. I mean, back then it was like, what? You want to go to college? That's the response I got. But today it's like, oh no, you got to go to college. You got to get married. You got to have kids. You got to like do all of it. And so how can they possibly enjoy the journey along the way? Right. And the lesson that I have learned is that it really all, does all go back to that time, even though, we may have done conscious therapy and talked about it over the years, maybe even seen patterns that we have in relationship to others. And we, but still it stays with us. And the reason is because our subconscious minds are way more powerful than we ever knew. Our ability to change our brain has been documented in neuroscience for many years now. Neuroplasticity is real. So what we think repeatedly becomes our belief, which is why I know I heard you mention the worthiness. I wrote down the book, Never Enough, because the thing is that what are these messages telling our young people? They're telling them that you're not good enough, you don't look good enough, you've got to choose the work over the fun. And so we're teaching them, in a sense, in the shadow of what we grew up in a different era. We're teaching them that, it's you have to keep going and pushing and overworking yourself to be acceptable. And it is not a good message. So I mostly work with women that are like 30s and up, but I've recently had some college students. And let me tell you that, getting to know them and seeing how hard they work, and they don't ever feel like it's enough. And even though I'm like, okay, they're getting A's and have received scholarship, and they don't feel like they can take time to go with the hiking club. They don't feel like they can. So I already see this perfectionism, this analysis paralysis is sometimes you hear it called, where it's like they've studied and studied and written and written, and it's just never good enough. And then they turn it in, and it's like, even when they get the perfect result, they still don't believe it. So it's like we're kind of, because I believe that it's really up to our generations that have lived through these cycles and that see that women do have a particular difficulty because we are expected to be the caregivers, the rescuers, the all of those things. And what do we do with our closest people, right? Our kids, our parents, our friends. We talk about the things that aren't working over and over and over. Pardon me. And all that does is create more of the same. And I can recall there was a period of life where I had been divorced and I was dating, and I found myself in a relationship that was in a pattern that was the old pattern. And I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. But I kept talking to my mom about the pattern. And my mom was talking to me about what wasn't working in hers. And it was like, I said, Mom, I don't want to do this anymore. I said, we can still have a say hi in the morning, right? On the way to work, I used to call her. But I don't want to talk about this. I want to change it. You know, when we start to hear our own stories or other people telling stories about who we are, and they don't sound good. They don't sound happy. It's like we can begin to realize that we've created our own self-limiting beliefs, right? And I think particularly as children, sometimes we hear our parents say things about us and they're not aware they're doing it, you know, but they say things about us and they go, that's not really who I am. But then they feel, because, you know, under 12 years old, we are doing everything that we possibly can to get love and approval from our parents. So we might modify who we are at that age to try to gain that. So we have these parts that stay with us, these subconscious parts that don't really understand that we don't need that kind of protection anymore. We don't need that judge or critic, right? Maybe one of our parents or someone in our family system was very critical, was very judgmental, and that can become your own inner critic voice. So what I feel is so important is to have a nurturing, inspiring community where you can really dig into this stuff and you can find what are those stories that you have. What is the, you know, for me, very much like you, it was work, work, work. Don't take a break, you know. And now what I've come to realize through this work is that when I push myself to that level, my work quality suffers and everything takes longer. But now I've learned to take breaks to where I do something like just a walk or just a 10-minute reset, right? Breath, whatever it is. And I can come back and in an hour get something done that was going to take me 3 hours if I hadn't paused. So we know the research is there that these things can be calmed and soothed, and we can learn practices to be able to calm and soothe on the go.
I'd love to go over a couple of those strategies if you don't mind. I'd
Okay,
love to have
sure.
the takeaways for the audience, but I just want to interject with triggers. First of all, I feel like that's a term a little overused these days, but
Oh,
it's a
yes.
real thing. We're living in a world of triggers.
Absolutely.
And how do we minimize that? How do we find that balance? I was Because I'm reading this book, I was at the nail salon, you know, how you talk to the ladies around you. And I was
Yes.
talking to a lady next to me because she had a cute little girl. I was talking to her about she was getting her nails done and getting glitter. And, I try to be in that mommy mode once in a while because I have teenagers now. So I don't have the cute
Sure.
glitter going on anymore. And she was asking about my kids and where they went to school. And she went to the same school. And the high school where we live in is one of those extreme high achieving blue ribbon 10 out of 10 schools, hot, the academic pressure. And I asked her how she felt going in that school. Did you feel that pressure? And she said, absolutely. She said, to the point where she was an athlete and she was in soccer and she loved soccer, but she ended up giving it up, focusing on academics. And now she even used the words kind of triggering. She goes, I have a hard time like hearing about soccer and watching soccer because I feel like I missed out and I gave up and it wasn't necessary and all the pressure and it rattles her cage and puts her in like a stress mode. I think it's sad what we're going through and has, COVID contributed because we just got so
Sure.
in our head with everything,
Yes.
Everything, it just became extra intense during that time. Have we carried over that mindset to now we're constantly, triggered and in creating more stress? So yeah, let's talk about the word triggers. I mean,
Sure,
you
sure.
use it, so I'm not
Yes.
poo-pooing on it. I'm just
No,
saying people use it a
absolutely. I
lot.
mean, it is a thing. Let's face it. I mean, like
Yeah.
you said, it didn't exist. Like I would say 7 to 10 years ago, it was something that was only used clinically,
Right.
right? And so now it's common knowledge. Everybody knows what this is. It's you see warnings on TV shows. I mean, everything. So It's definitely a phenomenon of our times. I believe that we are in a very transformational time in so many ways, and not just the US, all countries, the world, right? There's a shift that's happening. And I believe that when this type of a shift energetically happens, it's trying to progress us to something better. But often the way that many react to that is they want to go back in time because they're afraid, right? And a lot of times it can be older people, but it can be younger as well. They can jump on that bandwagon, which is, oh no, we can't have it like that. We can't all be together and all want the same thing. No, we have to separate. And so this whole idea of triggering, I feel, is a result of the times that, news triggers us, all these things trigger us, right, pretty regularly. So what I tell people is this: I believe that triggering can be turned around into something positive if you look at it in a personal growth way. If you say, okay, couple questions, and again, it's practice, so it's not perfect the first time, but what is the emotion I'm feeling? I just saw something on the news, and maybe it was particular to women. What's the emotion I'm feeling? Because many times with our emotions, we aren't even aware of exactly what the emotion is. We just feel intensity, right? And so the biggest thing is to say, what is the emotion that I'm feeling? I'm angry. Someone's maybe trying to strip some rights away from me as a woman, and maybe, all of this stuff. So we identify that and say, I feel angry. But what do people do mostly when they get triggered? They blame someone outside themselves. They just show their anger to that outside group, person, whatever. So my thing is this: it's not productive, and it stays in that high intensity, high nervous system, fight or flight mode. So if we can say, what is the emotion? Okay, we'll use the example anger. What in me does this connect to? What in my past, in my memories, in my emotions does this remind me of? Maybe I felt angry a lot as a teenager, and that stuck with me, and I'm using that example because I was part of the protest back in the day trying to get these rights, trying to protect women from these rights. And here they are, trying to control my health care after 50 years, so this is a good example. So what does it connect to me? Okay, it connects to this part of me. Okay, what can I do now to take responsibility, right? Because I think one of the biggest things we see, even though we're in transformational times, is that people are so self-focused right now because they're so, like, they're confused, they're trying to make something of themselves, they're trying to change, is that we don't take the personal responsibility for it. Well, look, what can I do now to speak out as a woman who was back there fighting 5 decades ago on this subject? And how can I connect to this, take responsibility, self-responsibility for the emotion, for the intensity of the emotion? Maybe I need to get involved in some way, whatever level that I can get involved. How can I take responsibility for this anger? Because I don't want to direct it. The world does certainly not need more anger. But how could I look at that in myself and see what would be a healing way to respond to it? So I believe triggering is a sign that you have work to do. And whether you want to do it or not, of course, is the question, which as women on your show here are looking for that reset. So I would say if there is a primary emotion that you feel most often, and I heard you say, Lori, anxiety, and I'm an anxiety sister. Most women are going between, and most people really, between depression or anxiety. And I like to just draw this simple parallel. Depression is being sad about the past and continuing to ask, why did this happen to me? Why? It doesn't matter, right? It happened. And the anxiety person is trying to project and control the future. And when they're afraid to, that they can't, the anxiety is even higher, right? So how can we somewhere come to the middle, right? Which again, talk therapy tries to work with those two major emotions, but we're talking about the same things, and we tend to give that more energy. So being an energetic believer in energy, believer in this subconscious power, which 90% of our behaviors in real time are coming from that place. So we could decide we want to eat better. We could decide we want to be less, anxious. But in real time, it doesn't happen because those parts of us are in the driver's seat. So part of this work is to identify those parts by looking at the most prominent emotion and by saying, okay, how can I take this down by understanding where it came from, just briefly, where it might have come from? And then, in my case, it was feeling very overwhelmed by what was happening in my family and wanting to rescue everyone. So that's a high level of anxiety for a young person. And so my life became that. And even though we can turn that around and say, okay, I love to help people come up out of this, but for many years I didn't. And for many years I was only really doing people-pleasing behaviors. And then I realized I was lost in that. I wasn't taking responsibility for what I truly wanted, but worrying more about other people, which I believe our young people are still dealing with that, even though it may be more hidden, it may be more hard to kind of get at. But so that's how I try to help guide people with triggering, is to realize you maybe have a need to take some time to do your inner work, whether that's with a small group or in individual coaching, or even just beginning a 10-minute a day of quieting your mind. Because one of the things that I have learned is that a mindfulness practice, no matter what way you choose to heal and reset yourself as a woman, the mindfulness practices are the things that keep it going. And taking that 10 to 15 minutes a day, whether it's at night or in the morning or whenever you can, it changes your brain. There are studies that show that 50-year-old and up that have been meditating for some time, a good period of time, have as much gray matter as 25-year-olds. And I love to share that because that is not the only change they've seen, but that's the simplest to explain. They have seen that the brain does change, and it can maintain the change. When it doesn't is when we don't do those practices and we just expect, that those parts of us are going to just be quiet because we worked with them for a while. But they need to know that we're in charge. In fact, part of what subconscious healing is about is just talking to those parts and saying, hey, I love you. Thank you for protecting me. Thank you for your service. You'll always be a part of me, but I need you to sit in the back seat. We use metaphors and we say, I'm driving now, I'm the adult, and thank you so much. And but we if we are operating in life with all these parts running around, we're not going to find alignment to who we really are.
I love that. Sometimes you just need to let that beep go.
Exactly. And it's really, the beautiful part of this work is that it is pretty simple. We do statements like I am statements, and we help to people to craft their own. I tell them, put it on your phone screen. So every time your phone pops up, there's your statement. And then over time, you change it. What is it now? Because you create this space by soothing these parts. And yes, there's always going to be a propensity to want to help others. It's just become some, for some of us who we are. But if we allow it to be part of us without taking over and jumping in when we don't want it to, then we've really become empowered. And that's what I love about this work is that, it's a beautiful thing to see women who come to me and they've worked with me for a little while and they decide, they'll contact me later and say, I hated that sales job and I went for it and I got a job in a nonprofit. I've had women who've had long-standing child abuse. I mean, not everybody has that level, but they've tried every kind of therapy and they've worked with me for a few months. And they're like, yeah, that is so much less a part of me now. It's still there, but it's not taking a trigger to be in any kind of social situation, which it was before. So I love to hear that, they're soothed, they're calm, they feel themselves slowed down in real time and able to see. They can see that, oh, I could be easily triggered by that, but I don't have to anymore. And it's a process to learn it, but it is very quick and easy compared to what it takes to invest in, therapies and all that goes along with that, the conscious work. Because the conscious work, when we understand how the brain works, the conscious work is very That's why we find it so difficult to stick with it. People say, oh, the diet or, or the studies or whatever it is. I find it so hard to stick with it because it's the saboteurs. It's those younger, usually parts of us that are getting in the way. So, yeah.
I think that's great information because it also leads me to, taking care of your mind and those triggers and finding that balance also takes care of your body. Because I just left a project working for somebody where it was just bottom line unhealthy for me. I end up having bad, those work nightmares kick in. So lack of sleep. I was dealing with vertigo and something I forgot to mention about the lady that I met yesterday, the soccer in the high school, she said that she was so stressed that she ended up with shingles. That's a teenager getting shingles. So when I was saying, watching sports is not satisfying, she like connects it with the anxiety and shingles and the bad stuff when that should have been like a wonderful memory. So yeah, I mean, this can also make you very, physically ill. The vertigo for me was driving me nuts, the
Oh my
spinning and the
gosh.
not sleeping and once I
Yes.
said no more and took my power back, sometimes you have to walk away. It's paying the bills and it's steady work, but it was bad for my health. I had to pull the trigger. There's the trigger word, but I had to pull the trigger in a different way and say, my health is more important. I will figure out how another project, another way to, return this income. So, and
And
I'm so
that's
much
such a,
happier. I mean,
oh
I
my
did go through
gosh.
a little roller coaster of the extra anxiety of, ooh, that steady.
What am I going to do?
Yeah, so and
Yeah, I get
so I
it.
had to sit in that discomfort and I chose to do it and I even told myself
Good
it's
for
going to take a
you.
month. I'm going to be uncomfortable. Just stay focused on the future. You're going to still pay your bills this month. Yes, you need to catch up. But
Yeah.
I told myself I knew I was going to be uncomfortable, sit in this discomfort and I kind of shut out some other things. I even had a friend that likes to call me a lot. I said, "Give me a little time."
See?
Because I tend to like to bounce ideas off of people. I'm like, not ready to bounce ideas. I need to work through something. And when I've resolved is when I want to talk to you and catch up.
Yeah, I'm so the two things I want to just comment if we can, but the body mind connection. I had a similar thing to what was happening with you. I started waking up in the middle of the night because I was in a long career in public education and I was in a leadership position. And once I was responsible for 800 souls every day, I could not believe I that's what, some of the years that I realized that I've been highly sensitive my whole life. That's another thing about women. We don't realize that some of us are so highly sensitive that these things impact us way deeper than they do other women. And there's no judgment there. It's just that when you realize this and your body starts to wake you up at 3 a.m., that's the stress time. That's your liver going, trying to shock you and say, you got it, something's got to give. And I also found myself going to work sad and coming home sad. And I was not a sad person. I was the other side. I was the anxious person. So I had to listen to those things because I started to not enjoy my life, even when I wasn't at work, because I had the shadow of it hanging over me, worrying about kids, worrying about situations, and all of the junk that started happening with school shootings and bullying and all of that. And so, I mean, parents who couldn't deal with it and were coming to me as like looking for emotional support, and it just became so overwhelming. And we do take it on in our bodies. Our bodies are energetic, and we do hold it there. So a lot of times in the work that we do, we find that women have like while we're doing the work, they feel constriction in their throat because they haven't spoken their truth. Or they might have it in the pit of their stomach because they have concerns about security, about their roots, about being secure. And just like you, I had to say, I was literally going to quit this profession, which I had degrees in and put 20 years in, but it was hurting me. I could feel it hurting me physically and mentally. And I found out that I could, there was another path for me that was going to enable me to move forward. But what was it? It was that space, Lori, that we said, you know what? It's going to be hard. And I love this. And the hardest thing is when you love something and you have to walk away. That's super hard because you're like, am I making a mistake here? What am I listening to? And I knew that I would be okay. And I had to trust myself. But if we have all these saboteurs going, a lot of women just don't trust themselves. And they're listening to and sharing with people. Like you said, sometimes you have to say, I got to limit my time with that person because they're giving me a lot of negativity. And then sometimes we share our ideas about what we want to do too early on, and we get nothing but that what how it won't work. And that those ideas could have become something, but they become like disempowered. So energetically in our bodies and minds, we can definitely, start to learn to take note. And so when I do this work in a small group, I often will infuse a little 10-minute practice of getting in tune with yourself, whether it's through breath or just a quick guided, like through the body sensations and all of that. So I definitely like that you brought that up because we are so strong in these parts of us that we will ignore those things and hopefully listen when a pain comes up. I was doing a class for a while. I'm really into fitness. I was teaching 3 times a week because it's, during the pandemic, it started up. And after a couple of years, I started to feel like my right arm, which is my stronger arm, I couldn't lift it. And I was like, I really can't do my own workout and teach this class because I was a teacher who was doing the class with them. So I was like working out way too much. And my arm was trying to tell me. And I let it go a couple of months and it just kept getting worse. And I finally quit doing it, even though I loved it again. My shoulder's fine. My arm is fine. It was like your body is going to tell you if your mind, if you're not ready to listen. So there are so many ways that we have to really heal ourselves. And so that's what I love to do is to bring people in, show them all these tools, and just help them get through that time of transition and then just watch their lives blossom and watch them, feel the joy of being able to trust yourself and also being able to enjoy the journey, being able to enjoy that change. Yes, it's difficult, but enjoy it and be open to the positive. And when something doesn't work, you're not a failure. You just learn from that and you just roll on to the next choice, the next option, and grow from it.
And
So,
trust yourself. There is a light
yes.
at the end of the tunnel. I mean, with me, like I said, it was high paying, steady work that I've done for years. But as soon as I said no more, and with proper notice, I didn't just like walk
Sure.
away. 4 days later, the vertigo was gone. And
Wow.
I had more focus on what really makes me happy in my work, and I
See?
decided to eliminate that portion, which was more media buying and focus more on the event part of my business. I'm like, what really makes me happy? And with that, I changed my networking approach and my conversations, my delivery. And not only did people look at me and say, wow, I really like what you're doing now much better. I'm like, oh my gosh, that was amazing reassurance. But even though I sat with my discomfort, like that 1 month was going to be a hard month. By the 28th of that month, because we'll just say it was like March, by the 28th, I closed like 8 new accounts. I'm like, this was right. I was very uncomfortable for the month, but I won. I got through it. I got through it. There is a light. I won. I'm not saying long-term accounts, but it was still new business that now I can look at those 8 new businesses, who can I really work with and grow on? And there are accounts that I'm happy about. They're in the wellness category, et cetera. So I feel like we could go on
Wonderful.
and on, but I just
I
want to
know. I
share
know.
that celebration. There is a light. And
Yes.
that's why I said I sat in my discomfort. I knew it was going to be a difficult choice, but I did believe in myself and my health was number one. I was so unhappy. And it was one of those where it was ruining my weekends because by Saturday night, I was
That's
thinking, oh,
same.
tomorrow's Sunday. And it's my last day before I have to
Have
go
to go back. Yep.
office.
Oh, I
And
was
it was
living that.
already ruining my, yeah, I'm like, ugh, so happy. So I am so glad and refreshed that we spoke. I mean, talk about a reset. I got my own. Hopefully our lady listeners have too. And if they want to connect with you more, let's talk about that. So for our podcast listeners, of course, in show notes, I can include how to connect with you, website links, et cetera. For our radio only listeners, let's give a shout out. Best way to connect with you.
Best way, and you'll find all my other links there, is to go to Rock Your Blocks, one word, lowercase. That's the website, and it'll have all the other ways you can connect with me and some freebies on there as well. And yeah, I just, if I could leave one like final sort of nugget, is that there's a quote by Rumi that goes, "The hole is where the light comes in." And I am very spiritual. I love to bring that element in because I feel like we need to be kind of in touch with something bigger than ourselves. And so I really believe that it's when we feel that resistance to whatever it is in our life, that is a call to something better is waiting for you. So above all else, if you look to find, to say, above all else, I want to see this situation differently. And just allow, just give yourself a few minutes to ponder that. What if I could see this differently? And like you, within 4 weeks, not only did you feel better in 4 days, but in 4 weeks, you had 8 accounts. I mean, that's pretty impressive. So once you let that space in, you let go of your resistance. Now, for some, it's going to be harder, right? For some, it may be take a little longer. That resistance may keep popping up, and that's where the support is a beautiful thing. So I love it. I love what you do. Thank you
Oh,
so
thank
much for
you.
having me on, and I hope we can stay connected. I do have a book that's coming out, so maybe I'll reach out when it's
Yeah,
when
we
it's finished.
sometimes do a show called Book Tour, so we'll chat about that
Oh,
as well. Well,
nice.
Denise, thank you
Awesome.
so much for being here with us today.
You're so welcome. Take care, Lori.
And this has been another Reset for Women.